This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, I'm Sherrod Kutin, and the morning run continues with me, Julian Ng, and Ibrahim Sani with the top business stories of the day. We have Italy, FinTech, the Bank of Japan, and OPEC all in the mix. So
for a moment there, you sounded like Joe Quinlan.
Did I?
Bank of Japan.
I don't know. I think it's just osmosis. Okay. Thank you, Julian, for that unnecessary comment on the way I spoke. Okay. Just coming back. Seriously. So we had over the weekend Italy going to a referendum. The vote is in. It's a no vote. It was expected. Matteo Renzi said he staked his government on a yes vote. He lost. He's resigned. The president says, no, don't resign just yet.
Yeah, I think the president wants Renzi to be in charge of the budget until the budget is approved. And I think there is a lot of worry in the market because this turns back a lot of the efforts that Mr. Renzi has made or at least tried to make to restructure one of Europe's worst performing economies. And it really, I think, calls into question the very idea of the EU, right? Because a lot of these populist parties are waiting on the sidelines in other European nations to vent and to really forward and advocate the idea of, nationalism. And I think it will also put a lot more pressure on the euro. But for Italy itself, there are huge amounts of problems. There's lack of growth there. There's very high government debt. There's also the banking sector non-performing loans, about 200 billion euros of that needs to be restructured. And I think in the short term, this is what the president of Italy would want Renzi to stay on to kind of like see this through a little bit.
Yeah, and in fact, this is the only developed country where the GDP per capita is actually lower than in 1997. So that kind of shows where they are right now at 2016 versus where they were at 1997. But based on my conversation with Joe Quinlan this morning, my question was very simple. Do you think that there will be any more political fallout following Renzi's resignation? And is the are investors priced in terms of their investments in Italy? And he says that, yeah, there will not be any more political fallout following this particular resignation. If and when he resigns after the budget. But I think international investors have already appeared to not care enough, or largely because they have priced in much of their investments following this particular political turmoil that's happening in Italy.
Correct me if I'm wrong, right? I mean, Matteo Renzi's argument was that Italy suffers from institutional paralysis. His referendum was largely political in nature, but as a way of enabling the kind of economic reforms, right? So you could say that his agenda was a nationalist agenda in the sense that it's about transforming Italy, right?
But I think people were also afraid that it would concentrate a lot of power in him and his party. I think he also passed a law which put, like a consolation prize, which gives you more seats for winning the elections. And really, the effect of that was to keep the ruling party in power for a little bit longer. There is good and bad in that because they can then make decisions very quickly. They can pass laws very quickly. But I guess what's happening right now in Italy and in the rest of Europe and indeed the world is that the will of the populist people, the will of the people is really out of sync with the economic realities. Like, for example, the banking sector needs to be restructured, and a lot of investors have been roped into coming to Italy to, for example, provide capital, new capital, or to convert some of these loans into equity. Now, without those kind of restructurings, I guess you're right, Sherrod, in saying that the will of the people, in fact, would not be achieved.
Yeah, and just to think about it, right? So, what are the practicalities that is happening in Italy right now? For instance, the banks is going to have very, very systemic problems. One of the oldest bank in the world, Banca Monte dei Paschi, they want to raise about 5 billion euros, or about 5.3 billion. $1 billion by year end to deal with the bad debt problem. They can't raise it because of the problems that they're going through right now. Could they be allowed to fail? Because that is the core question, right? So this is just emblematic of the entire banking sector in this country.
Okay, so, speaking of banks, Bank of Japan Governor Haruhiko Kuroda stated in a seminar that fintech poses fresh challenges for central banks in their attempts to maintain banking's sector stability.
So he's saying that the banks can be controlled by central banks through capital requirements and liquidity standards, but fintechs, they focus on specific aspects of the banking value chain. For example, the settlement service, the matching of demand and supply for funds without using their own assets, and therefore can take themselves out of this regulatory oversight by the central bank. And I think Kuroda, along with other central banks of the world, fears the lack of control over this fintechs, which they think can lead to some degree of financial instability.
Yeah, back home, we are trying to regulate the fintech industry as well. Very recently, the Securities Commission have just approved 6 funds, all fintech, in terms of crowd sharing or equity crowd sharing or platform. 6 others are joining Cradle to invest in tech startups in Malaysia. This is fresh news that's coming in as well. So I believe over here at the Malaysian side, we are trying to bring the fintech industry into our fold, perhaps to negate the kind of worry that Kuroda has happening in Japan.
I think the Securities Commission one is more focused on equity crowdfunding. But, there are areas of convergence whereby, Securities Commission is not Bank Negara, but, if they allow P2P to exist, right, that kind of overlaps with some of Bank Negara's rules, role. And also,
P2P being peer-to-peer.
Peer-to-peer, yeah. This really takes away a chunk of banking business. And later on we'll have that interview about Bitcoins. Bitcoins can also allow people to unshackle themselves from the banking system, right? Will this really challenge the role of the central banks in regulating the economy? And also, not to mention other parts of the internet economy. Who would have thought of the freemium economy from before? The Ubers of the world, the couch surfers of the world. These are operations that are not necessarily financial, but really take themselves out of the financial and economic system.
I mean, talking about being out of step, but how do you have national policy when the financial systems and economic systems are so intensely globalized? I mean, it just seemed to be one of these impossible situations. Moving on, OPEC members have now asked non-members to join them in further cuts to oil production, I guess in a hope to boost oil prices.
I don't know how they're going to carry this out because they already have having problem trying to rein in their own members to keep to the rules of production. Russia is one of those non-OPEC members that has agreed to those production cuts. But if you're asking the rest of the oil-producing world to keep to your rules, I think that is a huge challenge, not least one of those countries that probably would not keep to the rule is the United States, which is now one of the largest oil producers in the world. I think the shale producers would come out, would be turning on their spigots and coming out with their oil production in.
But isn't that self-interest? I mean, doesn't everybody gain by lowering production and keeping prices high?
Not necessarily. I mean, I think if you're a new investor in a new oil field, you want to get your cash flows coming in and you want to sell oil to the world, regardless of what other people are saying that you should alter your behavior to curb production. I think you might not want to do that. And if you extrapolate that into the general oil world, I can see how many people would want to try to flout these rules.
Well, okay, we'll be back with more business news after this, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.